This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
There's a reason why you should never work with animals, children, or siblings. Murphy's Law Radio Show, only on Joy 94.9.
Good morning, Anna Murphy. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Dean Murphy. Good morning, Tim. Good morning, Joystess.
Wasn't it a fabulous day yesterday?
Wasn't it? Jazz was
that
very warm.
The weather was superb.
Oh, loved it.
Rocking little day. Loved it.
Almost feels like winter's over.
How did your dog box, not your dog box, your hot box go? Your hot box, your house.
Warm.
Was
yeah,
it warm?
She's warm.
She's warm.
Oh, yeah.
Did you have any
aircon? No, I've got air conditioning, and everything's shut.
Right.
Yeah. Tight. Locked,
well, what a week. What
down.
A week it's been. Interesting things. Good morning, people.
Good it's, morning, everyone. How's everyone going the week after?
Well, it's been 1 week.
The
and
week
I
that
do
was.
Love how the top person of ISIS has come out saying that he thinks Donald Trump is a complete maniac.
Well, that would be the rest of the world and him.
Yeah.
So interesting times. Doesn't look like it's going to settle down over there anytime
it's still an interesting sort of reality TV show, isn't it?
I've gotten over whatever I was in last week, my funk.
Well, you're still alive, you're breathing.
Oh, I'm just laughing at the whole thing now. Just every day.
You have to.
Something ridiculous.
It's comical. We have a big show coming up this morning.
We do.
Massive amount of research and pre-production has gone into this.
I don't like your tone.
No, it's true. It actually is true. And we've got special guests coming out of our special guests this morning.
Haven't we?
Yes. Joining us later on.
We haven't had live in the studio special guests for a while.
But we have got one. She's topical at the moment.
God, she is.
She's a rip-roarer, actually.
I tell you what, I've got to say that I think she's probably the best thing to come out of some situations of late.
I don't want to give too much
away.
No. Do we?
But no. God love her cotton socks is all I can say.
Absolutely.
Look, I'm out on the road again. On the road again. Just can't wait to get back on the road again. I think I put an extra word in there. Yeah. Anyway, back on the road, new job.
How's that going for you?
Same sort of job than what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like pretty much essentially it's the same role for a different company.
You just have to be there more time
and
during the day.
And yet I have a totally different area.
Oh.
So I've spent the last 6.5 years nearly being a rep on the southeast.
Yeah. So you know pretty well. You know every street.
I don't need a GPS and I know where every medical doesn't matter. I know where they are.
Now
don't know where anything is.
Uh-oh.
So yesterday in the stinking heat, I was in the lovely area of Baldwin North trying to find where these places are. And you have to stop every 2 seconds and check your GPS. My GPS is 6.5 years old, so that has problems on its own.
Slow and tired.
Yeah. Oh, and just drives you around.
Hang on. Can we pull over? I can't find it either. Yeah. Is that how it goes?
Yeah, so it's kind of like a thrilling story about feeling like a rookie again.
It was a good one, though.
Well, you know, as we were coming out of that song, we didn't have anything to talk about, so thanks so much for helping.
Now, look, I know you're complaining about the GPS, but just think about years ago, doll, you would have had a Malwaze. I've seen you try and use the Malwaze.
There is no... Do you know what? There's nothing more unsafe than a new rep on the road, because you're just like driving really slowly looking for numbers of things and traffic and doing U-turns. It's not good.
No, it's not.
No, it's dangerous and exhausting.
So, Melbourne,
if you're listening, get off the road today because I'm back out there. Well, so it's not good.
I think we lost.
If you're going to be in the Baldwin area, do you think after 5 years that break
that we just did actually wiped out half our audience?
Well, maybe I wanted them to go.
It's time to dive into the world of Shane Warne.
Yay!
Paris Hilton has arrived on her fine shores, looking splendid.
Doesn't she look gorgeous?
She looks amazing.
I love that dress she's got on.
All that money makes it easy, though, doesn't it?
Yep.
Anyway, however, Shane Warne, he's branded himself Australia's number one party boy, wants to meet Paris Hilton.
Oh, I thought that was Corey Worthington.
Yeah, me too. Well, yeah, move out of the way, yeah, Corey.
I know, yeah. I know. Anyway,
where's wants your to, white sunnies, Warnie?
Wants to rub shoulders with her. She was at Crown's Club 23. Now, listen, there is a Paris...
He's claimed it for himself.
Yes, he said Australia's here, Australia's number one party boy would like to meet her, Warn said earlier, ahead of her arrival. Like...
Get your hand off it, mate.
Get your hand off it.
Like, who party says
boy?
That?
Who says those kind of things? Who talks about themselves like that?
How old is he to be a party boy?
He's in his 40s. Doesn't matter.
His face is about 20.
Yeah. His hair looks good.
Does it?
His hair's about 10.
Yeah, yeah. So what we thought we might do is, because I find that behaviour, like, you know.
Well, that's a claim to fame.
It's a claim to fame, isn't it? So,
which you would think that Shane Warne, with everything he's achieved in his career and his life, probably had other things that he could
going
claim.
For him.
Do you know what I mean? Like, best spin bowler, Australia's greatest cricketer, whatever. Australia's number one party boy, mate. What are you? You're literally 50.
Not that age matters.
No, it doesn't.
We're not ageist
at all.
Here, but, you know, it's a bit weird.
It's a bit
so
strange.
We thought we'd throw it out there to the Joyces this morning, and we're going to find a prize for you. We can't get into the prize cupboard, but we are going to find a prize for you.
Well, because somebody left with the key.
Yes. And it's a volunteer-based organisation. You know, people leave with keys and never come back.
So we need to try and break it open in the next break. But we will find something
we
to
thought,
give
I would
you
like to know
worry.
About that, because the listeners must have a there's a lot of interesting listeners out there. And I'd like to find out, what's your claim to fame? Like, if I said to you, Anna Murphy, what's your claim to fame? What is it?
I was in The Matrix. First one, I don't do sequels. Scene 17 of the DVD, people, freeze it.
That's right.
She's used that before.
Yeah. Yep. The old pickup line from 1983.
Absolutely.
You were too. That little bit. That.
I'm on screen for a couple of minutes, Dolph. Freeze
was
frame.
Was it a couple of minutes?
I was behind Keanu.
Oh, you were.
I actually walked into him anyway. That's old news, but it is my claim to fame. Tim, yours?
I'm a really loud clapper.
Clapper?
Clapper.
Yeah, like I clap really loudly. I don't know. I just clap loud.
It's not what I expected to come out of your mouth.
I didn't expect that either.
Yeah, you know, I'm a dancer or I'm a whatever. No, I'm a clapper. Can you do it loud?
I'll just step back.
Well,
oh, that
yes.
is. Yeah, that is. That's
you
loud.
You can do the Murphy's Law clap from now on because that clap is loud.
That's loud. That is very loud.
It's almost louder than me.
And
Wow.
There you go. It's a claim to fame. Your clap's louder than Anna Murphy.
Let's throw it out there to the guys.
Hang on, what about you, Dean? What's yours?
I thought we'd all know that by now. I'm a springboard diver.
It's
been a while since I've said that. I've actually never heard you say it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm a springboard diver.
I've heard her say it.
I've never heard him say it.
Oh, well, yeah.
2 years I've been with this show.
I've never heard it. I'm a springboard diver.
Oh, I love it.
If you'd like to let us know what your claim to fame is, and I'm sure there's more than what we've given you, 0427JOY94. Did you just cough up phlegm then? Can you get off, Mike? 0427JOY949.
Into a tear-off piece of newspaper.
Can you get out of the studio? Just go. We are talking. What?
First of all, could I just apologise to all of those who I've offended with my coughing?
Listen, you're not alone. Half of Melbourne's coughing at the moment and spluttering. So I would like to address that too,
just very quickly, because I'm a hypochondriac, as we all know, right? I'm doing stand-up comedy about being a hypochondriac. Mm. And I finally got a cold. I don't generally get real things. They're usually in my head. So I got a cold 4 weeks ago, and you would think that this is a time of joy for a hypochondriac. Mm-hmm. Something real. I had the sweats and everything. It was almost like a flu. And then I've had 4 weeks of this ridiculous cough hanging around. And you know what?
Mm.
So is the rest of Melbourne.
Yeah,
not
no one
cares. Piece of sympathy from anyone. I've been to chemists. I've been to doctors. And they're all like,
No, because it's the boy that cried wolf. Doll. We're so used to having
Melbourne's
something. Everyone just goes, she's not even serious about it. It's just that hypochondria.
I'm not even imaginative enough to give myself something that people don't have.
No.
I've given myself something that the rest of Melbourne has.
Yes.
So I'm just blending in with everyone.
Yeah.
Mm. How annoying.
It's hard being beige, isn't it?
Really? And
anyway,
beige sucks.
Anyway, we're back on track.
Anyway,
what's your claim to fame is what we're talking about. We're not talking about you, Anna Murphy. Well,
after you've called me beige, I think this is the only opportunity to talk about
The reason why we're talking about what you claim to fame, because Shane Warne has basically labelled himself in the paper this morning.
Australia's number one
party boy. That's what he's called himself. Come on.
Shocking.
Give it a rest, mate. David sent through a message. I once served Bette Midler in a restaurant I was working at.
Oh,
that's his claim to fame. Oh. I would like that. That would be
great.
I love
that.
And Tom said, I dated a manpower stripper in the 90s.
Is that a claim to fame?
I'm sure. Well, yeah, I think it is.
I think
this one came through from Conrad.
Good morning, rat bags. My claim to fame is that I was the face of Bond University Law School, Australia's top and private law school. I was on their billboards, TV commercials, bus shelters, buses.
hashtag
no big deal. Hashtag just saying, great music this morning. Can you please play Delta Goodrum, The River from Conrad house?
There's sort of parts of that message I love, parts of that message I hate. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hey, Anna Murphy, while you're away.
Yeah, no, I know, because I was listening.
Oh, were you?
Yes.
Okay, so we've upped the stakes in this
I just tuned in to hear you could have a chuckle at her. And then I was like, this doesn't sound good.
So we just wanted to entice people to respond to this this little promo that we're doing.
So you're pawning me out.
What's your claim to fame? If you win this morning, if you've got a claim to fame and we like it and you win it, what we've done is we've pimped you out. We're basically offering people or two people to come and see you do a stand-up gig.
It's not really a prize, though, is it? Because I do stand-up comedy at open mic nights for free.
Yeah, no, but they're coming as a guest.
Oh, right.
And I'm going to shout them some drinks and some food.
Well, I don't know whether we ran that by. I'm not sure that I'm good enough for that to be an enticement. Do you know what I mean? It could be the worst 5 minutes of their
life.
Come
on, you've got a big audience out there. People love you.
Oh, okay.
This is a chance to get to see it, do it live, people, on stage. If you want to be there at that special night, to be confirmed.
I'm not like Warnie. I'm not talking myself up. It's like, you know.
It's not very often that we see you step back from the microphone.
No.
Oh, I'm not stepping back from the microphone.
No, she's
I'm worried about
shut up.
People spending a whole, a night coming.
It's not a night. It's about an hour and a half.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, it'll be fun. If you want to be involved.
Hey, come on down. I don't care.
Let it rip. Lots of messages coming through. Cameron said, I was in a Hungry Jack's commercial in 2003 and still get recognised on the street.
Nice work. I love that.
And Dan said, I had a dance-off with Adam Lambert at a Mardi Gras after party a couple of years ago.
Oh.
That would be fun. That's a good claim to fame.
Yeah.
Hey, I was the muffin break muffin for a while.
And you still are.
As well.
0427 join 949.
I would be better at it now. I would only need to wear the hat.
Yeah, cheaper costume. People are flooding in with this. This has been a really good topic. What's your claim to fame, people? Let us know. 0427 join 949, honourandjoy.org.au. This one says,
My claim to fame is I was Delta Goodrum's slime squad on stage at Slime Fest, and I'm kind of a stalker also.
Oh,
that's from Coop.
You're in the draw.
Congratulations.
You are in the draw. We've got another one here.
And this one says, which is cooler, Grace Jones fell on top of me as she tripped off stage at a Melbourne rave New Year's Eve party in 1999, or I once stood next to Jason Coleman at a urinal peeing.
Oh, I think both are pretty exciting.
I'm not sure.
Both pretty much... I think Grace Jones.
This just reminded me. I actually got my chest signed at Transformers nightclub back in the day by Scott Michaelson that went on Neighbours.
Wow!
How
you
amazing
hussy.
Is that?
Cheap trollop.
I know. And the worst thing is my Christian church going mother woke me up in the morning and went, "What's that on your chest?" And I had no idea. Of course.
What were you doing having the girls out at Transformers? Anyway.
I didn't have them out. It wasn't like I was topless. Signing my nipples.
Yeah.
Just my chest. I had a shirt on. He signed my chest. I was young and I was foolhardy.
Signed your nipples. Lucy said, I got invited backstage at a Beyonce concert to meet her. Oh, that's pretty good.
Ah,
that's a good one.
Wow. Very good.
And Pete said, I drive Bert Newton to the airport in the back of my Uber.
I think that would be fun. Sarah said, I met John Howard when he was Prime Minister when I was in school.
Oh, very nice. Too. Let us know your thoughts. Let us know what your claim to fame is, and we'll put you in the draw to win that prize, which is to go and see Anna Murphy doing her stand-up. We're talking claim to fame. What's your claim to fame? Let us know. 0427joy949, honourajoy.org.au. Here's one for you. This little lady's got a claim to fame. 29-year-old Tracy Kiss has been drinking the interesting concoction for the past month, saying it boosts both her mood and her immunity system.
What interesting concoction?
The mother of two has been single, so, well, she's been drinking, what, she's been drinking a little bit of sperm each morning.
She's a, what?
Pardon?
You could have softened the blow on that a little bit. Mind the pun. You could have just walked me into that a little bit.
A tablespoon of sperm each morning. Okay, so the mama too is currently single, so harvests her sperm from her best friend, or rather, he harvests it and delivers it to her three times a week. What are friends for, of course. Tracy, who's a vegan, stores it in tubes in the fridge with the rest of her groceries.
I like how they've decided that we need to know she's a vegan.
She says, I'd be feeling run down and had no energy, but now I'm full of beans and my mood has improved. And it goes on and on and on, and she does this as a regular thing.
Is she assisting in the collection of said sperm smoothie?
Well, they
asked. Is that why her mood is elevated? Yes. She's just a little whore.
They actually asked her.
This is the most disgusting thing I've ever heard.
They actually asked her, you know, all the nutritional things aside that she claims that it has, you know, how does it alter the taste of her breakfast drink? And she says, well, with every batch, it kind of tastes different depending on what he's been eating.
Oh, of course.
If he's been drinking alcohol or eating something particularly pungent, like asparagus, I'd ask him to give me the heads up on that one.
Excuse your pun again.
Things like pineapple or peppermint make the taste even better. I'm happy to do that straight off the spoon, actually.
Oh.
Yes.
Amaya.
Yeah, and it goes on and on. And I just want to congratulate her for being so honest. But she does say here her goals. I want a relationship where my partner asks if I want one shot or two of sperm in my smoothie each morning.
Oh, don't we all?
Now, I'm going to give you something different. Because we love our nature stories, don't we?
I love nature.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know the old saying, I'm a lover, not a fighter? Mm. Sort of holds true in alarmingly physical ways with the world of cockroaches.
Oh.
You see, Anna Murphy, some cockroaches grow big horns for fighting.
Right.
But those who don't grow alarmingly big testicles to compensate.
Alarmingly.
Yes. A study discussed in the National Geographic found that the Madagascar hissing cockroach basically chose whether to specialise in love or war.
Oh.
The ones who were aggressive grew massive horns, and the ones who were lovers grew big.
Which is ironic, really, because you'd think they would be more horny.
Yeah. Ah, you didn't see.
That was so bad.
If I was a cockroach, I'd just be like the hippie cockroach with make love not war T-shirts and rolling around in the field with flowers around my head and
alarmingly vast testes, as it says here.
Massive elephantitis.
Alarmingly vast testicles to compensate for the fact you don't want to go and kill everything. I just need to talk about something that I did touch on last week.
Yes.
It's more about the perils of being the new girl.
Yeah.
So last week I told you that I accidentally parked in the wrong spot and got filthy.
Yes, that's right.
So like the brave person that I am, I did absolutely nothing about that this week. Nothing. Didn't address that. That's fine. Whatever.
Let it go. We'll just
sweep it under the rug.
Yep. Because I had fantasies about writing a nice, you know, letter or leaving some money for parking. I didn't do any of that.
Right.
So I'm a horrible person. But that's okay. Moving on. So.
Yeah, what happened now?
During the week, on Monday, I was in there again. And because I hadn't been given my parking spot voucher for down the street, my boss had said kindly, well, you can park downstairs. Just, there's two levels with four spots in it, but if you park at the front of the four spots, you're going to get blocked in, right? And the directors park there and all that sort of stuff. Whatever. So I moved out of one spot at lunchtime and then came back and no spots in the top, but went downstairs and I parked someone in.
Oh, so you blocked them in?
Yeah, because that's just how it works. And thought to myself, right, I need to tell someone when I get upstairs that I've done that.
Hmm.
And then me being me, got upstairs, someone distracted me, probably just by opening a door and saying hello. And I totally, totally forgot to mention that I'd parked the car where I parked it. So next minute I got someone saying, oh, have you parked downstairs behind such and such girl? Can you move your car? And looking a bit urgent, but I was a bit tired. I didn't realise there was urgency about it. She happens to control some payments and things. So,
so she controls your money.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so I just meandered downstairs and she was not happy. But I got down there and she's standing there. She's like, maybe you should tell, you know, next time you could tell me.
Oh,
and I
was
like,
that's harsh on the new girl.
I got distracted. She's like, yeah, I've got to go and pick up my kids. And I'm like, I saw her yesterday and
harsh,
I don't think I'm her favourite person.
No. I blame her.
What do you mean?
You wouldn't be my favourite person either.
Yeah, really? No, you're not winning any fans here either. If you block me in, I'd be giving the same reaction. You're hideous.
You're nasty.
How dare you?
I'm a horrible, horrible person.
I'm surprised you've got any friends at work.
I'm surprised you've got any friends at all.
I'm surprised they gave me the job. I'm such a horrible person.
You go to a song, that's torturous, that story. I love these stories.
Here we go.
This is a young lady who's fascinating. Her name's Kate Harvard, and between the ages of 6 and 13, the 37-year-old claims a horse spirit entered her, and eventually she had 32 distinct horse personalities that she could call upon at any given moment. Kate, who lives in
32
Chippenham,
32 distinct horse personalities, actual horses.
Horses, yep. She
what,
grew up.
Bessie, Mr. Ed, Old Trotter, Toto,
she can have her own.
Farlap,
she can have her own Melbourne Cup.
Caviar.
Absolutely.
Oh, around the corner is another one. Yay! This is ridiculous. Horses don't have personalities.
She grew up roaming free on the farm in Scotland and would even try to eat her meals.
She grew up
free. Like a horse.
Free on the farm.
And fashioned some horseshoes.
On all fours, I bet you she did.
She fashioned some horseshoes.
And there she is at 37 recreating the scene of the crime. No.
It was like a spirit of the horse entered me, she says.
I reckon she's been on the horse drank a bit too much at this rate.
So free and powerful.
Couple of bumps on a Friday night.
This euphoria was intensified by the fact that I won a race by a long shot.
Oh, of course. She's a fast horse.
She was the only one in the race.
I remember going to my mum and dad's vegetable patch and nibbling on broccoli flowers.
Of course you did, you
a
idiot.
A fennel bush or even some grass, although it was a bit of a struggle to eat the grass.
And marijuana.
Created horseshoes out of old cork tiles and stuck them on to create horseshoe patterns.
And acid.
And I used my mum's empty face cream pots as hooves.
Mummy was into some things too.
Single Kate, who has
no
children.
Can you see them rattling around in a mansion in England somewhere and mummy's just loaded up to the hilt and there's a daughter around the paddock? Hey, what's going on there? Oh, that's just Sheila being Toto.
Oh, now, did you say that she was single?
Yeah, single.
And no kids.
Single Kate, who has no kids.
Oh, what a surprise.
Oh.
Was joined by her sister from time to time and they cultivated these 32.
Oh, they were in the corral.
Eventually, as a 13-year-old, she was out trotting on her neighbour's driveway when her dad came out and said to her in a Shakespearean actor's voice, there comes a time, my darling, when every young lady has to put away her hooves. She said, I remember it, and then suddenly felt the switch go off. Oh. That was the strange moment that the day my childhood was over.
That was the strange moment. You've been out there in the rain on all fours, you stupid mole.
Joining me now in the Joy Studios is the new First Lady-elect Melania Trump. Good morning. Welcome to Joy.
Pleased very much to meeting you.
Melania, this must feel like some weird dream at the moment, is it?
Oh, Dean, yes. Yesterday I was suburban housewife. Today is a great honour to be nominated Lady White House.
Well, you kind of weren't nominated. Your husband Donald Trump was.
Yes, my husband is ruler of free world and I sit on his lap for support.
Okay, Melania, did you ever think in a million years this is where you would end up?
No, in Slovenia, Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory is a big hit movie. I thought I'd date Oompa Loompa, yeah? You know Orange Man?
Yes, I do.
Next thing, I'm in Donald's...
Pants?
Penthouse.
Oh, penthouse.
In Donald Trump. Then, as Beyonce to say, if you like it, you put the finger in it.
If you like it, you put a ring on it.
Yes. Then, as history is the rest, I never thought I would be needed to work. I was happy as a lazy rock on a lizard.
Oh, as a lazy lizard on a rock?
Yes.
And now, what's...
And now, my first lady garden, an important I must be.
So what's the first thing you plan to do when you're in the White House?
Poo party, yes?
No, I mean, what do you hope to achieve in this new position?
Wait, please, do... it's a handbag.
You've lost your notes?
excuse me. hang on. Here it is. I hope to stopping the bullying on the social media. It's nasty to hear the children upsetting and doing the bullying.
But your husband's the king of Twitter and abuse.
I tell him off to not be hurting the people.
And does he listen?
Yes. And then he throw apron for oven and point to the kitchen.
Oh, so you're going to somehow stop the hurtful people?
Yes. I believe the children are our future. Treat them well and let them lead the way.
That's a Whitney Houston lyric.
We are the world and we are the future.
Melania, that's a Michael Jackson lyric. What are you doing?
Just checking MichelleObama.com for new speeches.
I love this part of the day. It's last man standing. That's... it's the game that just keeps on giving.
It does indeed.
The score so far is 11-10, my favour. So I'm 1 point up, Anna Murphy. You've made a bit of a comeback. I don't like that.
Comeback, yes.
So here we go, Timmy.
All right, so Anna, of course, you won last week, so you'll be kicking us off.
Right. The topic... I actually don't like going first, but anyway.
No,
okay,
no.
It's fine. Okay, good. Thanks for sharing. The topic this week is things you do only when you're alone.
Shower.
Cook.
Pick my nose.
Masturbate.
Scratch my bum.
Pull my nasal hair.
Clean my earbuds.
Cut my toes.
Congratulations,
oh,
Dee.
Bad luck, Anna Murphy. I threw you with the masturbation thing,
yeah,
didn't I?
Did.
I think it's
you
as all.
I'm not really coping with that last part. I'm sorry.
Oh, dear. Anyway, that's a score to me.
I don't
great.
Like
well
being
done.
On my own, so 12, that was 10. A hard... That was a hard thing
sucked
to me
in Anna
about.
Murphy. Anna Murphy.
Oh, yes.
Next time you think about finding out whether your wedding ring fits your penis, try to resist the urge. A guy from South Africa thought that he would have some harmless fun but ended up in excruciating pain and needing some surgery. He basically, well, it was a bit of a dare. His wife had just, I think she'd just given birth. And he decided to have a play around and whatever, and he decided to put his wedding ring on
dirty
his old fella,
bugger.
28-year-old, put it on his old member, and basically he's ended up cutting off the circulation. There
now,
is a photo of it on YouTube.
Wedding rings fit fingers.
Yeah.
So he had a penis the size of a finger to get it on there.
Yeah.
And then couldn't get it off.
Yeah, and it's called penile strangulation. It's quite common.
Penile strangulation.
Yep. And
is anyone at home gagging like I am over this?
Swollen, turned blue. And I think the funniest part of this is he ended up in the Van Helden Hospital in Limpopo.
Limpopo.
Opo.
That's what he's going to be, Limpopo, for the rest of his life after
where
that.
Surgeons, silly. How's this though? Surgeons took photographs of the damage before removing the ring, like...
Of course they
oh,
did.
Oh, look, we just need to do this. This is
hey,
medical.
No rush.
This is medical. It's like, I'm posting this on YouTube. You sucked in.
Murphy's Law. One listen and you'll feel so much better about your own siblings.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.